Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I save all my best football talk for you. In fact, I really don't talk much football outside of this particular studio. This is the place to be, I guess, if you want to talk football with me. Every now and then, a new friend or, you know, an acquaintance, someone from my church, or on Monday night, it was a couple of women from yoga class. They figure out what it is I do for a living, and then they want to ask me questions about football, which is fun. So when the yoga instructor heard that I worked in sports, she said, "What do you do?" "Oh, I work in sports radio." "Oh, you talk about sports?" "Yes." "Well, what happened to the Patriots yesterday?" She's from New England, and so she's a Patriots fan. And she wanted to know what happened to the Patriots. Problem is, you can't get too technical because it's way too much ground to cover in a yoga class. This is actually the 2 or 3 minutes before we started getting into Zen mode. So football takes me out of Zen mode. Football does not give me any type of a quiet in my soul. No, in fact, it revs me up. Sometimes on Sundays, there's maybe a pocket between the end of the late afternoon games on the East Coast, so the second round of games, and the start of the Sunday night football game. And I always consider, oh, maybe a nap would be good here because it's a long day, Sunday into Monday. But it inevitably happens that I try to take a nap and all I can think about is football because I've been taking notes for hours and my brain is spinning with all the different storylines and the wrinkles from the weekend. And so it's not possible. Football is it's the enemy of nap time. That's what it is. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. I got this tweet from Brent earlier and I wanted to pass it along because I suspect that there are many listeners, maybe hundreds of thousands, who have been in a similar boat or can relate to what Brent was going through over the last week. He says, "I live in South Carolina and I had to evacuate due to Florence. Because of that, my morning work routine, which includes After Hours, has been thrown off. Can't wait for Tuesday's show. It will be the first time in over a week that I will get to listen." Now, I care far less about whether or not you're listening to the show than I do about your safety and the fact that you're able to go home again. So, Brent, so glad that you're safe. Evacuating was very smart. I wish more people had done so. Certainly a lot of people that had to be rescued after the fact. And a huge thank you and a lot of appreciation for our first responders and those people who go out and make rescues and put themselves in harm's way to try to save others. It's great to have Brent and the rest of you listening again, but we're mostly concerned about how you're doing and how you came through the storm and whether or not you're able to go home to a place that is warm and dry and has electricity. That's a big question mark for millions of people in the Carolinas. Thankfully, Florence has broken up and is now nothing but rain and a little bit of wind. We're supposed to experience the remnants of Florence Tuesday in the New York City area, but nothing like what the Carolinas took and the pounding that that area took. So we're glad that you're okay, Brent. If you went through Hurricane Florence, love to hear from you too. You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page. We'd give you Twizzlers if we could. It is our Twizzler Tuesday as we morph our way from a Monday into a Tuesday morning, and we're asking you, because 2-0 seems like a good checkpoint. There are a lot of statistics about teams that go down 0-2 or teams that are 2-0 and either make the playoffs or miss the playoffs, but there's always an outlier. There's an outlier here, there's an outlier there. So our Twizzler Tuesday question, we're trying to determine which teams are most likely to defy the percentages, defy the numbers of the 2-0 teams, they've given themselves a nice head start, but which ones are most likely to slip? I've fallen and I can't get up. That's a commercial. If you've never seen it, for those buttons, my Grammy Helen, I make her wear her button because she thinks it's okay if her button is just laying on a desk nearby or is on her walker. Like, Grammy, if you fall the other way, you're not going to be able to reach the button. So I had to get her a pink ribbon so she could wear the button around her neck. So she will fall and be able to get some help. But some teams, they're going to fall and they're not going to be able to get any help. And so there will be teams that start out 2-0 that don't make the playoffs. Right now we've got a 2-0 team at the top of each of the divisions in the AFC. The Dolphins, the Bengals, the Jaguars, and then the Chiefs and Broncos are both 2-0 in the West. The Rams are at 2-0. The Buccaneers are at 2-0. I'm sure everybody picked that. Nailed it. And then you've got a couple of teams that don't have a loss yet, but do have a tie in the Packers and the Vikings. So that's our Twizzler Tuesday question. And you can also give us a call, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line here at CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. I actually just got my next car insurance bill from Geico. It's not due for a month, but it's there and it's available and I could pay it anytime I like. So I use Geico for my car insurance and it certainly did save me some money. 855-212-4227 or on Facebook After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So a lot of you are weighing in and are kind of giving me your thoughts on who's going to slip and who's going to rise up. Let's see. Let's run through some of these on our Facebook page. Scott says, I was going to say it's hard to imagine the Dolphins in the playoffs, but then I remembered the Buffalo was in last year. Yeah, it's not impossible to think about any of these teams, save maybe a few, being able to rally from 0-2. All right, so right now, to me, the Buffalo Bills are a mess. They're a mess. But a lot of their pieces on both offense and defense are still there. That's the part that's so odd. I know that at quarterback, they have already made a change. They decided that they would trade A.J. McCarron and they would get something for him, maybe because nobody was offering to trade for Nathan Peterman. But Peterman didn't work out, and now they've got their rookie out there. My biggest fear is that rookie is going to get killed behind that offensive line. We know rookies already tend to hold the ball too long. That's something that you have to teach it out of them. Get rid of the ball when the play is broken. The NFL is so much faster than college. Get rid of the ball. And so they've got Josh Allen out there, and great, he gets some reps, and he gets acclimated, his trial by fire, but let's hope he doesn't get injured. But the Bills look lost to me. Now, LeSean McCoy is not going to be out for a long period of time. Rib injury is what we've heard, but he certainly does get banged up. I mean, he plays a very physical position, but he gets banged up, and he seems to miss a couple of games per year. And so that's a concern, but really it's about the quarterback. Is it about the offensive line? Oh, and that very odd retirement from Vontae Davis. And I don't know that that affects their playoff prospects or not, but this is might be the oddest retirement you will ever come across in pro sports that has nothing to do with an injury. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. After the Bills' loss to the Chargers on Sunday, it was revealed that Vontae Davis had quit at halftime. Like, quit. He just up and retired. And he has since posted on social media to try to explain his decision. But for whatever reason, he couldn't stay out there the entire game. I imagine it was frustrating again. I get it. For a veteran especially, he had to feel like the season stretched on interminably. There's nobody who wants to go through what the Bills have gone through in the first 2 weeks. It's been putrid. It's been embarrassing. And maybe Vontae Davis couldn't face the idea of the rest of a season just like those first two games. Except he couldn't wait it out? If for no other reason than there's no controversy, or there isn't as much controversy if you retire at the end of a game, then you don't call nearly as much attention to yourself. But according to Lorenzo Alexander, who we've had on the show before, he was finding out the same way that the rest of the locker room was finding out about Vontae Davis quitting.
You've seen anything like that in your NFL
never
career?
Never have seen it ever. Pop Warner, high school, college, pros, never heard of it, never seen it. And it's just completely disrespectful his teammates.
Did he say anything to you?
Did he say anything?
He didn't say nothing to nobody.
You left?
When did you know as much as I know. I know I found out going in the second half of the game. Coming out, said he said he's not coming out, he retired. So
what?
Yep, that's it. So
who said what? Who said he's
Sean
said
guys
that on the sideline. Yeah, side so. I mean, guys heard about it and said that he wasn't coming back out.
He's not coming out of the locker room. He retired at halftime, and that's how his teammates found out. Man alive, that seems cowardly to me. Now, quitting seems cowardly to me, but everybody has their reasons. Sometimes your physical body just can't take any more pounding. And that's got to be part of what cornerback Vontae Davis was going through. He actually said that in one of his social media posts, that it's too much for him to think about going through another season. But you couldn't stand on the sideline for the rest of the game? He started and played the first half against the Chargers. Now, the Bills were getting pounded again, just like they did against the Baltimore Ravens in the season opener. But he wasn't on the field in the second half, and he wasn't spotted in the locker room after the game. And then he released a statement, in essence, that said reality hit him about his physical ability to keep playing at a high level and that he just couldn't anymore. He also tweeted in all capital letters, "Only God can judge me." That was on Monday afternoon. And while I agree that ultimately God's the only one you have to answer to, there are a lot of fans out there who are certainly judging that decision. And as a fan of a team, I don't know that you're going to get anyone to not judge your sudden decision. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Sean McDermott trying to take the high road as the head coach, but man, there are a lot of questions about Vontae Davis.
You know, overall, I'm not going to get into what I said, but generally speaking, there's no need to address it because we're moving on. That's what a team does. This is not going to become a distraction for us. We're going to move forward. And like I said, his actions spoke, and I heard everything he needed to say through that. So got a lot of respect for Vontae. He's a good person. Certainly appreciate the way he worked when he was in here. But we're moving forward as a football team.
I'm not sure that all of the Buffalo Bills share his respect for Vontae Davis. As of Monday afternoon, neither Sean McDermott nor defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier had spoken with Davis. How do you do that? Now, I've worked with people in the past who just didn't show up for a shift or left after a shift at work and never went back. I can't imagine doing that. It's unprofessional, it's irresponsible, it's disrespectful to the people around you. If you're gonna leave, be man enough, be woman enough, be adult enough, be strong enough to say, "I'm leaving." Even if you don't want to give your reasons, maybe you don't feel like you owe anybody a reason, but to just walk out without letting anybody know? Come on. That's a cop-out. And so I don't know how much respect there is in that Bills locker room for a guy who quit on his teammates. In fact, I don't know how he can ever show his face with other NFL players again. Coaches are going to say the right thing, but come on. To quit and to up and leave without a word, that's the quickest way that you can lose respect in pro sports, in college sports. I mean, guys were saying, I don't agree with this decision. And Lorenzo Alexander called it completely disrespectful to the team. I agree with that. I don't know how you can do that. It seems to me like a cowardly move. I'm not saying he is a coward. I'm saying that was a cowardly move. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I got to work on my CBS Sports Minute. We can get to some of your calls, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I love your tweets. I'm going to get to some of those. Plutz. I don't know what a plutz is. I know what a putz is. Plus, you can find me on Facebook to weigh in on our Twizzler Tuesday question. And we've got the latest in the Major League Baseball races, both for divisions and for wild cards. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon.
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown.
Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown.
Center salting into the end zone. Touchdown.
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to at After Hours CBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Play action fake. Fett Patrick wants to throw deep down the field. It goes toward DeSean Jackson. Makes the catch at the 40, to the 30, to the 25. DeSean Jackson to the 20. 15, 10, 5, 3, 2, 1. First play of the game. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Wow. Fire the cannons.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Prescott under center. Play action. Sets the throw. Looking deep down the left side. Tavon Austin open at the 30. He's got it. Inside the 20. Turns on the Jets to the 10. Cuts right to the 5. And he's in for the touchdown. 64 yards. Prescott to the speed burner. Tavon Austin. And the Cowboys on top. 6-0 early first.
The New Orleans Saints.
Brees gets it off into the shotgun, throws up to the right corner. That ball's caught. Mike Thomas in the back of the end zone, and the Saints take the lead here in the Superdome, 16-12.
The San Francisco 49ers.
And he will turn and feed Breida again, this time to the right. Breida breaks past the line 40. Breida cuts back middle 50. Running across the field to the 40. Down the near side 30. Playing Garcon for a block 20. Breida 10. Breida cuts back and he's gone. Touchdown 49ers.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Just a smattering of the awesomeness that we got on the football field over the weekend. Week two, providing us with several more candidates for TD of the week. As always, you're invited to submit your own write-in votes. But for now, the Twitter poll is up on our show account, After Hours CBS, and I am retweeting as well. We've got the DeSean Jackson deep ball from Ryan Fitzpatrick, Gene Deckerhoff with the call on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We've got Kevin Kugler on Westwood One, third play of the game, a 64-yard strike from Dak Prescott to Tavon Austin that set the tone for the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. Zach Streif on the Saints Radio Network, Michael Thomas with his second grab from Drew Brees that gave the Saints the lead in the fourth quarter against the Browns. And then Matt Breida. I'm sure you all thought Matt Breida would be leading the NFL in rushing through 2 weeks. San Francisco 49ers Radio Network with Ted Robinson. This is a tough one. And then there are obviously many others. Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley, 3 touchdowns each. Patrick Mahomes had 6 touchdown passes. There's so many cool moments to choose from. You've got special teams TDs. You've got defensive TDs. How about Prince Amukamara with his pick 6 off Russell Wilson Monday night to help put that game out of reach for the Chicago Bears? So you pick a TD, and then you vote in our poll as well. We love it. A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's working a call here, 855-212-4227, or toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Tom is listening in Sugar Hill, Georgia. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm good.
It's been a long time since we've spoken. I've been on some teams that
were supportive, and they were a family.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Pirates, that we are the family Pirates, or the Falcons from 2 years ago. And I don't believe that was hokey. I believe that they really got together as a team. And you felt that you were being supported by your teammates at all times, whether you, you didn't mess up as much because it wasn't the performance anxiety that you feel when your teammates are at your back. And I don't mean backing you up. I mean backbiting.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's going to show up in the papers on Monday. And who may say what about you when you have that kind of situation. I think that kicker, and I'm sorry, I don't have names.
Which one, Vikings or Browns?
The one that got fired.
They both got fired.
Well, the performance anxiety that the rookie was feeling, are they both rookies?
No, Daniel Carlson is the rookie. So, yeah, the Vikings kicker who said he was nervous.
Yeah, and there's no way that you feel that way if you feel like your team has your back and will support you.
I don't know about that. I feel like that's just human nature. People get nervous, especially when they've fallen flat on their face and they failed. There's a fear that they're going to do it again. So sometimes
sure.
When we fail, our confidence is shaken. It doesn't mean that he didn't think his teammates had his back, only that he personally didn't want to let them down. And he knew he had already, already failed and messed up twice. And this was the game on the line in overtime.
I'm assuming a lot here. There's no question about that. I don't know anything about the relationship within that team. I don't know a thing about it. I'm going on my experience on the teams that I played on, and how it affected me when I didn't feel that I had their support. Matter of fact, I had one team where they openly criticized me on the court. And it was hard to overcome. I mean, I had a great first quarter, and the next thing I know, I'm being told that I'm shooting too much and to give up the ball. And I was probably 8 out of 10, and they're telling me I'm shooting too much. Anyway,
okay, Kobe Bryant.
That's been my experience. So that is the reason I brought up the mm-hmm. performance anxiety, because I have it to a large degree when I feel that I don't have support. And that's hard to say. That's hard to admit. But it's true. I have performance anxiety.
Well, I can understand that. Again, that's very real. And anxiety itself is very real, regardless of what the situation is. But I would also say this. Feelings can often deceive us as human beings. Sometimes our feelings are not an accurate depiction of the circumstances around us, because our mind and our hearts tend to play tricks on us based on our past and our own personal fears. So sometimes our feelings, while they're legitimate and they're very real, are not necessarily because of other people around us. They're just because of our own internal struggles.
Yes, and I agree with you. I agree with you. But I think that it can be heightened one way or the other given that support. At least, again, that's my experience.
Right. Well, I mean, the NFL is a performance business, and this was a very high-profile failure. It doesn't mean Daniel Carlson won't find another job. I'm quite certain that he will, because he was drafted pretty high for a kicker.
Sure.
And I wouldn't be surprised if he popped up in a couple of weeks. I mean, I've been fired twice, and I've been dropped from a radio rotation two other times, and I'm still here. So failure is not the worst possible thing that can happen to us. In fact, I think it's probably necessary for healthy development and for all of us in our professions. Failure sometimes tends to make us better.
I appreciate your time tonight.
All right, Tom. Thanks so much for calling from Sugar Hill, Georgia. Good to have that conversation with you. Yeah, failure is not the end. Your story doesn't stop when you fail. unless you choose it to stop when you fail, unless you quit, unless you give up. But if you don't, there's going to be another opportunity. There's going to be another chance because that's life. It's one of the great things about life is that the world doesn't stop turning and the sun comes up tomorrow and you have the choice and the opportunity to make something out of your failure. I love that Nick Foles chose to focus on that after winning the Super Bowl MVP. He told his story. In fact, he wrote a book talking about how much he failed and how much that made him not only motivated and hungry, but also they were amazing learning experiences for him that ultimately helped him to get better as a leader, as a quarterback, as a teammate, as a football player. All right, we'll take more of your calls coming up, 855-212-4227. Look forward to talking with you. I've got to go record a CBS Sports Minute. In the meantime, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Please vote for the TD of the week. And then you could also weigh in for Twizzler Tuesday, which 2-0 teams are likely to slip and not make the postseason, which 0-2 teams are most likely to rally and find a playoff spot. Facebook, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The gap in right center. This could be the one. Ah, he's going to be held to a double. He's trying for three. He's going to do it. Get out. He's in there. Christian Yelich. Ask and you shall receive.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Phenomenal call from Bob Uecker on the Milwaukee Brewers Radio Network. Although the subject material made it a lot easier to kill it on the radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our Player of the Week is brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done. And this week, it's none other than Brewers outfielder Christian Yelich, who on Monday night became the first player in Major League Baseball history to hit for the cycle against the same team twice in one season. Nerd alert! The Cincinnati Reds have seen more than enough of Christian Yelich. Thank you very much. He hit for the cycle against them on August 30th, and not even a month later, accomplished the same feat that you heard with Bob Uecker on the Brewers Radio Network. In fact, Yelich is just the fifth player ever to hit for multiple cycles in the same season. He definitely has boosted his case for MVP in the second half. We have seen some guys in Major League Baseball step up. I have no idea who's going to win the MVP in either the AL or the NL, but I know that we have multiple candidates in both, and I feel like the National League is so completely wide open. But congratulations to Christian Yelich. What a neat moment, or two, or three, or eight plate appearances that made it hit for the cycle in two games in less than a month. The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. So you're taking our TD of the Week poll. You're also weighing in with your answers to Twizzler Tuesday. And I appreciate that. I tend to think that defense keeps a team relevant. Defense makes a team a contender, even if the offense is slow to find a rhythm, to find a groove. Now think about where we are. We're second week in the regular season. What do we know about most of these teams during training camp, during preseason? They didn't all take snaps together as ones. A lot of veterans chose to bow out of preseason games because they wanted to limit the risk of injury if at all possible. Not to mention, if you can take less pounding on your body, then theoretically you'll be healthier and have more energy and have fresher legs and arms and cores and brains all the way through the full regular season and maybe postseason. And so you can understand why these guys don't want to step on the field during preseason. I get it. But now we're seeing the offense is trying to work out the kinks. What they normally do in the exhibition games, they're doing on the field in the regular season. So defense is ahead because defense is not as much about rhythm and timing. It's about the communication. It's about the discipline. It's about the intensity, of course. It's about knowing your assignments. It's about taking care of your business. It certainly is about your explosiveness and your aggressiveness. Definitely is about your vision. Just not as much about the rhythm and timing. Although, of course, some of that, I mean, we're talking about knowing snap counts and seeing signals and knowing what your guys are going to do around you. But the defenses seem to be ahead in many cases. So I think offenses will start to catch up. But a defense can keep you relevant, can keep you in a game while your offense is dawdling around. So for that reason, honestly, I think Seattle has a pretty good opportunity to rebound from an 0-2 start. I know the offensive line is abysmal, but they have spent a bunch of first-round picks on the O-line. Is there a chance this line can get together? Is there a chance that we're going to see the fabulous Russell Wilson and the way that he can extend plays? Now, in recent seasons, he's taken far too much of the responsibility on himself. But I think the defense has the chance to be really good again. So I'll give the Seattle Seahawks a pretty good shot at rallying from 0-2 to make the postseason. Hashtag Twizzler Tuesday. You can find me either on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, or on Twitter, A-Law Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. Brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you can save money. If you switch to Geico, you can get your car insurance, your homeowners, your renters, your motorcycle insurance. Package it up. Get it all at geico.com. 855-212-4227. Rick is listening in Baltimore. Rick, welcome to After Hours.
Great talking to you again, Amy. I really enjoy the program. Young lady, you do an absolutely great job.
Thank you, sir.
This time I'm a little bit serene about these things, these issues. Self-motivation is a great tool. I quit a job a while back, and it was due to a young lady that I was seeing. We were living together, and she was driving me out of my mind, and I couldn't take it anymore. So I walked out, and I still regret it to this day. And
The quitting part or the ending the relationship?
The quitting the job, absolutely. I still regret it to this day. I'm going to go back to work, but and you know I play in a band, and they're driving me nuts too, so I give 100%. And
but don't walk out on them, please.
No, I'm not going to walk out. I told the guy, you know, the piano player, you know, I'm a drummer. I'm not going to walk out on him. We talked. And I'm not a quitter, you know, and your analogies are so right on point. But anyway, you remember we had Ricky Williams?
Wait, do I remember that we had him?
No, Baltimore had him.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, I remember Ricky Williams. Sorry, I wasn't sure what you meant by we. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
He played for the New Orleans Saints, Miami Dolphins, and then the Ravens. He was here briefly. Outstanding running back. He rushed for over 10,000 yards. And what happened was he was smoking a lot of dope pot, I mean. And I think what happened was he just, you know, ran to the end of the line with his career. He wanted to do something else in life.
Agreed. He definitely did want to do something else. But there is a way to change direction. There's a way to do it. Walking out on your teammates at halftime of a game, leaving them essentially on the front lines to battle without you and saying, I give up, you're on your own. I mean, in my opinion, that's the ultimate sin as a teammate. To quit is the ultimate grievance.
I definitely think he could have went back out on the field. You know, why? I don't know. But, you know, we talked about how bad Buffalo is as a team, and I made a mistake, and I said Josh Allen was playing well. Well, he wasn't. He was getting killed.
I mean, he is a rookie QB who's been thrown into the fire, so I would lower your expectations. But I mean, definitely there were some things to like. There's a lot. He's not ready. They don't have anybody else.
I don't know, man. It's a hard call. Your call screener said, well, you have empathy for him. In a way, I do. But, you know, I've learned a lot from you. You're a young person, and, man,
so
I'm going to go back and get my old job back.
There you go. Good for you, Rick.
Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. 855-212-4227. Brian is listening in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing? I just want to comment on this guy tweeting and quitting during the game. You know what? Yeah, it's wrong. It's abandoning his brothers, whatever. But what about this?
Whatever.
At least he knew when to quit. At least he knew that his heart was not in the game anymore.
Fine, then stand out there on the sidelines with your guys. Stand there. If you don't participate in the game, then at least stand there and support them. It's still your team.
You want him to get paid to do something he doesn't love? And that, like, stealing? So you want him to stay in the game and get paid? Come on. What are we saying here?
Yeah, actually, I do. If you commit to something, you make sure that your heart and your head are in it. I'm sorry.
How many people bail on commitments every day?
Well, that doesn't make it right, man.
Have you ever played the sport?
Of course.
You know that the damage it does to your body?
Yep.
It's 250 car accidents a game on your body. 200.
It doesn't mean you walk out at halftime.
He didn't walk out per se. He stuck around at least. But at least he knows when to stop.
Did he? Where did he stick around exactly? He was gone.
It's here nor there. At least he knew when to get out. So, like I said, at least he's not stealing the money and bringing the team down because his heart is not in the game. So you're telling me you would rather him stay?
I would.
And have his heart
not
in the game.
If you're not going, then don't be on the field then, Brian. Fine. Take yourself out of the game if you're not physically and fully committed. But stand there on the sidelines because you're a member of the team and support the guys who are on the field.
There's a thing called a contract.
Exactly. He has one. He has one.
Yeah, exactly.
And he quit on it.
He can't just walk out.
He did.
He's got to pay that money back.
He did just walk out.
And, yeah, he's going to suffer financially for it. Believe me, they're going to get their money from him.
Okay, I don't care about the money, man. I care about the human element of this. You just quit and walked out on a bunch of people who count on you. That's wrong.
Count on them. Hey, so you're saying one man is a team now? It's a team sport.
Brian, now you're just making crap up.
One player? Really?
He started the game. They were counting on him. He's a member of the team.
There is no I in team. If you rely on one player, what kind of team is that?
I didn't say he was the only player they relied on, Brian. Why are you being so difficult?
Well, I'm not being difficult at all. The fact is, the man knew when to get out. I'd much rather have him quit than play a sport he doesn't love and then cost the team to lose.
Then quit at the end of the game. Don't quit at halftime.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate your phone call. If you can't get your body out there, then stand on the sidelines and support your teammates. It's a team sport. It's not about you. It's not about what you want or what you need or what your body's about or this or that or blah, 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 blah.
Well.
All right, we've got 1 hour to go. So much news, plus the latest in Major League Baseball, the Diamond Drama. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.